My name is Trevor Melam. I'm a victim of criminal fraud by Lloyds Bank. I'm one of hundreds of victims. And there were 10 BSU units around the UK. And typically what happens is you end up at the abattoir, which is Lloyds BSU Bristol.
So BSU stands for Business Support Unit. What were they doing? Or maybe we could say, what are they doing? I'm not sure this practice has really been stopped.
They're not supporting businesses, that's for sure, apart from their own one, which is a criminal operation to do one of the 31 banned practices of trading standards, which is bait and switch. And what they would do, they would entice people in. Quite a well-recorded case is Cash Shabir's, but there's many cases, Harold Tillman, my case, many others. And what they would do, they would come along with the falseness of we want to support you or take your business forward. You then think, okay, we can expand or we can do whatever we're going to do. You put in a chartered accountant's plan. The bank then knows what goes where and what amount of money is needed. And then what they do when they get to, in my case, they promised a 200k EFG loan, which, by the way, is the same as the COVID loans. So it's all going to happen again next year. And when we got to 85k, they pulled the rug and they said, you've got to sign this. So we had to enter new loan agreements. So you've had the bait. They've baited you. And then partway along, when you're in more debt, banks don't lend, by the way, they sell debt. So what they do, they get you to sign a loan or mortgage agreement, which is a promissory note. And at that point, you're going ahead. And then when you get to a critical point, they pull the rug. So you can't go backwards and you can't go forwards. Our business was just about to hit break even. And the eventual projections on it, we had some pretty big industry players that were going to come onto the board, and 11,000 estate agents. The figures on the business projections were 40 to 60 million per annum. So,
if you could just tell us a bit about your group, how many people are part of it, Trevor?
Well, we did have a group of around about 100 and 205 victims, and then there were sub-victims of that, you know, people's investors and that sort of thing.
And but you were actually infiltrated, weren't you? Have you got any actual hard evidence that happened?
Well, there's a group called Common Purpose, and it's a secretive group, and they do a lot of things in public domain. And we had a certain Irishman come along with loads of promises, and we thought, this guy wants to help us. And he was brought in by an Irish politician. And if you look at both their profiles and so on, it's there in broad daylight. We've also today found another one that is supposed to be helping people. And he's redacted a document now. And the bit he's redacted, because I've got a copy of the original document, is Common Purpose. There's 17 pages not redacted. And there's a little bit on one page. And the bit that's been redacted is Common Purpose, the bit above it and the bit below it. So Common Purpose will infiltrate bits. And they get into things and they disrupt things, but in a bad way, and they will break things.
But anyway, the latest with the campaign against Lloyds Bank? Because I think most of us understand that the banks were responsible for the 2008 crisis, and that also that there hasn't really been anything tough done by governments to split these casino banks away from the proper high street banks, nor to properly regulate banking.
So, again, going back to the Common Purpose, if you look in the senior police authorities, and Avon and Somerset is riddled with it, there's Common Purpose. If you look at the civil servants above it, there is Common Purpose. If you look at the Hansards in the House of Commons, there is a bit where fraud was made low priority and it was taken off performance and statistic figures. So, and the bit of that in Hansard actually reads, and it's got the Common Purpose in it. So there are MPs. I think we'll find the leader of the Reds at the moment is Common Purpose, and so on. We've had Common Purpose in government for three decades. And when you first look at it, it's hard to get your head round because you think, I'll go and vote. It will make a difference. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever because behind the scenes, you've got this shadow government and it's made up of Reds, Yellows, Blues. And I think what's happening now, we're looking at what Boris is doing. There's been a fight on between Downing Street and Whitehall. And if you look at some of the ones, like Sajid Javid, who's from Bristol, and you search him, there's an awful lot of comments there with common purpose. So as a victim, a bank fraud victim, we've been fighting away and going to a lot of these politicians and the regulators. And, you know, you speak to the victims, they say it's like hitting a brick wall, stonewalled. And what research we've done, part of my background was advising on property fraud and money laundering. And I'm what they call an INTJ, so I look at patterns and strategies. And we've been building as a group this big, big matrix with all the victims' evidence we've got. And we're finding that in the regulators, in the FCA, in FOS, there are people that are clearly common purpose because they're on a lot of the literature. And when you take your complaints there, they will get thrown out. So you've got that. You then go to the police. We know with Avon and Somerset Police, we know that there's victims' evidence that didn't get passed over to Thames Valley Police. So when the police crime commissioner from Avon Somerset set a peer review, which was supposed to be an investigation, you know, if somebody was a murderer and said, you can look anywhere in my car, but you can't look in the glove compartment, you can't look in the boot, you know, you could get a clean bill of health. You could be Peter Sutcliffe. So we've been messed about a lot by the police. And we know that there are connections between seniors at Lloyds Bank and past PMs. One really interesting bit is, if I go back to John Major, his number two was Norman Blackwell. And Norman Blackwell is now the chairman of Lloyds Bank. If we then go, I've got a copy of the matrix here that our group has now got. And if we go to Tony Blair. Now, Tony Blair, he had two very important aides. He had Julia Middleton, who was the front woman, founder, set-up person for Common Purpose. And another one he had was Dr. Wendy Piatt. Dr. Wendy Piatt is the one that Mr. Azorio, the current CEO of Lloyds, had the affair with. What happened there? Are there some photos or videos about? I don't know. If we then go to Mr. Gordon Brown, his advisor on finance bits was Mr. Budenberg. Robin Budenberg, who started at PwC, who do a lot of Lloyds audits, and we know that they're wrong. And Mr. Budenberg has been nominated to come back to Lloyds Bank next year and become its chairman. If we then go down to Mr. Cameron, he actually introduced something from the Policy Exchange, which is quite a bit of common purpose in there. And that was to reform and bring in police crime commissioners to hold police to account. The police chiefs, they can sack them. The police crime commissioners look after the crime plan.
What about on your campaign itself? Is there any chance, do you think, of seeing some of these Lloyds employees hauled before the courts and prosecuted for what they've done, this bait and switch?
Yeah, it will happen. It will happen because we are getting through. I mean, there are hundreds of matrixes just gone out to some very senior people above the police. Lloyd's solicitors recently told me, oh, if you're not happy, our client said, go to the police. I said, I'm not even going to bother because you buy the police off. So we're writing to a lot of good judges in that, such as Lord Sumption and others. We're writing to a lot of compliance people in very senior financial organisations that you wouldn't even know the name. This information now has gone through even to Interpol, MI5 and that sort of thing. So we're going to get it out there. We're doing it under knowledge of circumstance, which brings in notification to all these senior people, a lot that could do something. And that was brought in by Lord Goddard, which basically says if somebody's in an authority to do something and they're notified of it, they've got to deal with it. The thing is, the evidence we've now got, we can show, it shows in the matrix that we've been to the police. We've been to Action Fraud, which is covered by City of London. We've been to crime panels. We've been to Avon Somerset many times, and it's getting quite embarrassing for them now. We've done that. We've gone to the police crime panel, the police crime commissioner, and where it has to go now is under the Police Reform and Social Responsibility Act. It has to go under a statutory instrument, which is Statutory Instruments 2011, number 2744. And this basically says that this problem, this baby, is Priti Patel's. It's the Home Secretary's. And if it comes to it, we will take them to court. We were running
along. What do you think of the figures involved, Trevor? In all, how much amounts of money?
I don't know. I would think it's more than billions. I should think it's probably trillions. And a lot of this has been going offshore. And I think people have been concerned for the last couple of years because they brought in the fifth money laundering directive. And that was basically people on trust companies, and that's tax havens. They now are supposed, they have to be listed. And I think a lot of this money that's been stolen from Bristol and the City of London, I think it's been set out through a lot of these Channel Islands, a lot of these tax havens. And, you know, going back to common purpose, they place these people in there. And when there's big, big contracts, it's like the COVID masks. I'm sure if you're going to buy £152 million worth of COVID masks, you're going to get maybe 100,000 test ones to begin with, and say we want this changed or that. I'm sure there wasn't a lot of lorries turned up on the day and said, here's your £152 million worth. Mm-hmm. So where did that money go? You know, so this is what common purpose does. It infiltrates bits, it tells its yarns, and the people that pay for it are the public. And it's wrong. It's got to stop. And, you know, it goes right up to the City of London. The other reason it happens in the City of London, there's banks don't lend, they sell debt. And they also do not update the land registry records, which I caught Lloyd's barristers out on in High Court as a litigant in person. And the following week, their solicitors, Ashford's Law, were either sacked or they gave up the ghost and a new solicitor's come in, which I thought was quite funny. But banks raise money through a process called securitization. And when you sign the loan or mortgage agreement, it's an assignment. There is securitization, best way to put it, on steroids, which is rehypothecation. And in America, that is capped to 140%. A loan may get sold on 8 or 9 times or more. And that's rehypothecation. There is no cap on it in the City of London. The square mile is very different from Greater London. And there's a lot of big businesses there that control the way it runs. The City of London Police cover all fraud in the UK. That's why nothing's getting done, and they made it low priority. So our group, really, we're going through a stage with COVID where we can't really get out on the streets so much to protest. So we're using the time while the courts are closed and so on. And we're using the time to put information together. We're putting intelligence together in a way that it all makes sense. And
but what would you say to those that say, well, actually, the people you're dealing with, if they are, as you're suggesting here, criminals, that they're too big to jail. They're actually too powerful to get into jail because they can pull strings in the criminal justice system.
Well, with the information we've got already and with what's coming, I mean, the Matrix is probably only 40% of the way there. But the information that we've got in various places, because we don't trust that there could be raids or bits like that. But people will have to go to jail. You've got breaches of the 2010 Bribery Act. You've got breaches of where people incentivized to do this asset strip. And you've also got the 2006 Fraud Act. On top of that, there are a lot of forged signatures. I think there's 19 big bundles, big boxes that Police Crime Commissioner Anthony Stansfield, who is a good one, very good one, he's recently got promoted to head of fraud in England and Wales, and Anthony really supports our victims, he feels for us and so on. But the documents he sent off come under the Forgery and Counterfeiting Act 1981, and that's quite a slam dunk. And you know, we're getting to a stage now where we're contacting very senior people. And I think, you know, I've heard we've got whistleblowers as well. I've heard that there's a lot of paperwork being destroyed in Lloyds Bank at the moment, and that there's certain bankers in there that are looking to exit before Christmas. So, you know, it's a compliment to what we're doing.
It is, certainly. How do people follow your work, Trevor?
Well, I've got a very close network now because we got infiltrated by Common Purpose. And so I've now got a very close net. So it's hard to infiltrate. And a lot of my work, I just get on with it. It doesn't have to be.
I just wonder if people are interested in following this online, reading, you know, if they've got a blog or anything.
No. Well, we've got Action for Justice. .co.uk. They can have a look there, and we put bits. We've also got the Lloyds victims Facebook. But again, you know, we're getting a lot of inquiries from Taiwan and China. And I'm sure some of these have been told, if you can hack in and get us the information. So we're using a lot of intelligence, and what we don't want put out there, we don't put out there.
No, fine, absolutely right. What about Noel Edmonds, though? Because I don't know if he was ever part of your group, but he came to an out-of-court settlement for rather a large sum, didn't he, with Lloyds?
I don't know what Noel got. I know there was a figure of $5 million put in the paper, and there's a lot of other people banding other figures about, but I've not heard what figure Noel got or whatever. All I know is he's supposed to have gone to New Zealand, but Noel came in. And, you know, he obviously raised the profile. A lot of people knew Noel Edmonds, whereas they don't know little old us.
Well, this does seem a little bit sad, doesn't it, that somebody with a kind of celebrity profile, Lloyds seem to want to deal with them and have an out-of-court settlement with them, but not with the smaller victims.
Yeah, I think it's very sad for Lloyds Bank, because the information I've now got, like I say, I was an industry stakeholder advisor on fraud and money laundering. When I got my information, we could see it was fraud. And what I've done, Noel wouldn't have that sort of information, and we've come a long way. So, yes, Noel was a big figurehead, and what Lloyds have done, they keep quite zip on it.
So, Trevor, just remind us whereabouts we can go to find the latest on this, because I think the most important thing from my point of view is that people are not having to fight Lloyds on their own, with a solicitor, possibly a dodgy solicitor, perish the thought, but they're networking with other people who've been victims of the same crime.
So, I mean, what you say there, they could have a dodgy solicitor, or the thing is, going to court is a little bit like a pantomime. There's rules and so on. And even if you've got a good solicitor, there will be rules there. However, you know, yeah, if people want to look us up and so on, we've got a website, which is action4justice.co.uk.
Okay, Trevor Mealham, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks so much.